Hey everybody, Matt Michaels here on the DeFalco Files with the owner and creator of FSW, the Future Stars of Wrestling, here in Las Vegas, Mr. Joe DeFalco. Joe, all right, man. There was some high octane going on this past weekend, and a lot of fire in the women's championship match, man.
Yeah, you know, we have the anniversary show coming up on the 20th, so we had time, and it was like, hey, let's get back to the FSW arena. And now next week we got, or this coming next couple days, we got Future Shock. And 2 weeks after that, we got the anniversary. So we got three shows in 4 weeks. So, you know, if you're a fan of FSW, you know, you're going to get to see a lot. You know, you got to see some familiar faces, as well as some faces you hadn't seen in a long time. So, we qualified pretty much the cash in the case match. We crowned a new women's champion. So, you know, it just wasn't a throwaway show at High Octane this past weekend.
Yeah, and obviously Zamaya was hungry for the title.
Yes, you know, and she's had some opportunities. And, you know, we even though she isn't from FSW or didn't train with us, you know, right, basically she started with us, you know, in reality, you know. We were probably the second company other than PCW. So we're probably the first company she ever worked with. And right, we saw her growth, you know, over the years, you know, and I was the first to talk about how, you know, the improvement that at one point, you know, when she got to that next level where it's like, okay, you know, she's not just coming with the crew and maybe we can find a spot for her. Now it's like, okay, she's definitely, you know, one of the top talents that we have in the women's division.
Yeah. I mean, you know, when you look at that, and obviously it's easy to see growth when you have your trainers, you know, giving feedback, when you're getting, you know, whispers of who's doing what and, you know, what they've seen in class. And then, you know, the opportunities you get on the shows to prove yourself. But with this, like you said, I mean, Zamaya really started off as someone who was, you know, fair to say, a female body, someone who, you know, could give a match to a Maserati or, you know, whoever was a champion at that time or needing a match. She really, you know, was, you know, someone you could use to essentially put a female match on the card and give some work to whoever the, you know, the primary players were at the time. You know, her journey has been really incredible to watch. Do you think that's something, you know, when you look at the state of women's wrestling in general now, that the women are, you know, growing at a quicker pace now, not only in numbers, but also in figuring it out and developing characters? Zamaya's got a great, unique character. If you look around on the independents right now, there's not really anything like her. The only person would be kind of NXT, and you look at Zarya, right? So is that something that just, you know, you think you're going to be seeing in the next few years, is just this incredible development of these young women who are really now developing at a pace that you couldn't have imagined about, like, you know, 5-10 years ago?
Well, there's so many opportunities, and, you know, a lot of times we joke about it, but, you know, there's people who are spending money, and the women are making a lot better money on the independents than the guys do.
Right.
And what I talked about with Fallen Gray, where it's easy to be caught up into, well, man, I'm getting paid really well. I don't even need to get better. But right. I think the only difference is that, and again, maybe it isn't that way. Maybe the people we use, and maybe that's why we continue using them, they're not happy or content at where they're at. You know, right. we first saw that with Lacey Ryan, now Zoe Serrano, that during the pandemic, it'd be, you know, every opportunity, place was closed. Hey, here's the key. She wanted to get as much work in as humanly possible. And, right. you know, she wasn't going to stop until she got signed by a major company. You know what I mean? And it's like the women nowadays who could make 2, 3, 4, 5 times as much as an indie guy, you know, a guy who might be at the same level might make $30, $50, where a woman will make $150 to $200 and get flown to Chicago to wrestle a show or Pittsburgh or whatever. Yep. So the question becomes, man, you just got flown out. You worked Friday. You worked Saturday. Maybe you worked Sunday. You got back Monday afternoon. And why go to training Tuesday and Wednesday? I'm a little tired, you know. Hey, so maybe I'll go Thursday, but I got to get on a plane sometimes Thursday night or Friday morning. Right. And it's like, well, I'm getting booked, so, you know, I'll get my work in there. And also the fact is there's tons of women. So yeah. What's going to make you stand out? So obviously you see Brittany Brooks is all over the place.
Yep.
You see Fallon is now all over the place. You see Zamaya, she got signed by MLW. Obviously, there was something they liked about her. Yep. You know what I mean? And it's like, and you see Gypsy Mac all over the place.
Yeah.
So Maserati, yep. you know, she's almost taking a back seat. That's 5. You know, damn. That's hard to, you know, I don't know if a local company, because they moved here to train with us.
Right.
Yep. So I don't know if there's a lot of other companies that somebody could say, oh, yeah, 3 top-notch women wrestlers moved to our city to train at our school because they thought it would be a help.
Right.
You know what I mean? And that's on top of there's a new girl, Draculina, who moved to town, who's training with us. And yep. Haley J moved to town, and she was yep. with Mama's training the other day. So there, and count how many are from California. So there's a lot of talent. And again, because there isn't as many women as men, the men are still going to dominate, if it isn't a women's show, the card.
Of course.
You know, at most, you could probably do 3 matches because – who's got 7, 8, 9 women? Most are going to have 1 or 2, and they're going to bring somebody in. So maybe you got 4, so maybe you could do 2 matches. But we're in a situation where we could do 4 or 5 matches.
Yep.
But we have, we got 60 guys and we got 8 women. So how do you only have 2 men's matches? So, but they're fortunate because, you know, there's always going to be opportunities for them. Because the ones that are really good, there's far less of them.
Right.
So if you stand out, you're going to get the higher payday. You're going to get marquee matches. You know, when somebody books Shotzi, who are they going to have her work? Shotzi ain't going to want to work some girl who's had 4 matches.
Right. Yeah.
You know, and it's like, you know, Fallon's got, hey, now she's Veronica Haven, but she's been seen on Evolve. I guarantee you her rate's gone up, you know.
Sure.
And yep. I guarantee you she's going to get that marquee match. And Gypsy's improved tenfold since she moved yep. here. And Brittany, you know, is under the Chris Bay learning tree. And I walked in yesterday before class, and there's Chris Bay, Brittany Brooks, and Zoe Serrano. So, and Bodie and Jaden Cole and you know, so now you're growing the strong base that you have with, you know, iron sharpening iron, as they say.
Right.
Now, all these people are in the ring. And then who walks in to start class? TJP is your trainer.
Yeah.
And, you know, if you're going to tell me that our place isn't good enough, well, maybe you're not getting out of it because you're not putting into it.
Sure. That's fair. Yeah. 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 And, you know, the progression, I think, is easy to see. Not only in ring, but what is starting to be done with the video vignettes and starting to develop character more so. Brittany's fit getting out of the arena was brilliant. It was brilliant. What a great little video to capture the mood of that character. And you're starting to see this stuff, you know, through these videos that are being put out there by Mikey. That
are, well, which we talked about with Brittany before, as, you know, hey, you know, young girl, Brittany Spears, Brittany Brooks, I'm Brittany bitch, blah, blah, blah. But there was no character behind it.
Right.
And now she's that bratty, arrogant, I'm better than you. And obviously she's doing a very, very good job in it. And by the end of the match, the crowd was chanting for Zamaya, who 2 months ago was part of the MK Army.
Yep. Right. And that's one of the wonderful things about this, like you said, 2-month, 3-month flip of, you know, seeing Zamaya go from, you know, being a heel to actually now being liked by the crowd, and giving her a chance to put a little more personality into it, which I think that is something that, you know, if you're talking about learning in the ring, you're also talking about what you need to do outside of the, you know, the ring itself and putting into that character. And this is a beautiful opportunity for Zamaya to start to develop more of that personality, because as a person, she's got a wonderful personality. Now we got to see what that character is. And I think it's,
well, great. She, in real life and actually in wrestling life, very soft spoken. I don't think we've heard her say 10 words, to be honest with you. But the spectacle is when you see her on a flyer and when you see her in ring, very colorful. The hair, you know, everything. And again, even when she was bigger, she was a big girl, you know, yeah. And it was the Bull Nakano kind of, hey.
Yeah.
But now, you know, she's got the colors, she's got the hair color, you know, it stands out. Now the question is, if you hand her a microphone, and we're gonna see, because people want to know who she is, Brittany Brooks, not afraid of a microphone. Right. Maserati, not afraid of a microphone. You know, Gypsy didn't do a lot of talking. But now, as the women's champion, there's people that are going to call her out, and she's going to have to respond. And it's very important, because we've seen that with feuds. We've seen that with people. And all of a sudden, somebody's going, you know, yeah. You might be able to go one-on-one in the ring with Danny Limelight, but can you go one-on-one on the microphone with Danny Limelight? And when he's going to throw in those zingers and he's going to throw in those one-liners, even though he's the guy you're supposed to hate, kind of like with L.A. Knight back in the day, you liked hearing what he said. So deep down, you really can't hate that person, because he might make you laugh. He might make you say, oh, that was a good shot at that dude, blah, blah, blah. And then there was no answer back. So, you know, now's the time. you know, in FSW, I think Jake said, I think it was the 11th women's champion that we've had. You know, and it's the same thing when you talk about Zoe Serrano. You know, wrestling-wise, A+. You know, as a woman wrestler, she's one of the best ones you're going to come across.
Yep.
Now, when it came to mic work and personality, character development, you didn't really see a lot of it. And right. even in WWE, it was, you know, she was in a group for a little bit, didn't do a lot of talking, but everybody would put over. And even after she was no longer there, and Bubba Ray and Road Dogg, everything was about how great her wrestling is.
But, you know, she also started to find that personality on TikTok, which that's another thing, is that, you know, you can't just stop in wrestling class and in training.
You have to evolve. Everything's about evolving. And now Zoe has to evolve because now she isn't got the WWE behind her. Right. So she has to say, hey, this is my rate. This is what I'm looking for. I'm an ex-WWE superstar. It's going to be easier to get that first booking. But now the question becomes, when she goes there, because she's going to draw initially that first time because it's an ex-WWE wrestler.
Yeah.
But now to stick around and get that second and third and fourth booking at this company for that high rate, we know Killer Cross on the polar opposite end that he can sell anything, and it's not his wrestling that is selling him.
Right.
You know, he's a social media master. You know, he should run a master class on that.
Did Joe DeFalco just say that Killer Cross can't wrestle?
That is not what I said. That's what I said.
In trouble there.
Everything that he gets people to get behind him.
Yeah.
Wrestling Zilla Fatu. Oh, shit. But the talking really gears you up for it. Now, you got to produce, but he's not going to wrestle a match, you know, he's not going to wrestle a Meltzer 5-star match.
Right. Exactly. Yeah.
But you want the story to be told. You want the engagement. And that's now what Zoe has to do as she goes out. And unfortunately, we won't find out July 25th. She got offered a tour of Europe, obviously, for the first day in. So she is now scheduled for August 22nd for us.
Okay.
So, but, you know, she needs to go out there. And people need to be like, oh, she's really nice. Oh, she's cool. Oh, good seminar. Right. Oh, shit. She knows her stuff. And obviously, if you keep seeing, because, you know, I talked with Shotzi and I know what she's kind of asking. And I see her being booked a lot. So obviously, she has turned that big negative of being released into the big positive.
Yeah.
But. Excellent. Got to realize there's also a lot of WWE talent that has been released, and there's a decent amount of women that have been released, and most companies aren't going to be able to afford to bring in 2, 3, 4 of them. They're going to bring in 1 or 2 of people that they really enjoyed working with and they felt moved the needle.
Right.
So now she's going to step into that, and now her job is to make people say, oh, man, we need to have her back.
Right. Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. And that's, you know, going to be a wonderful journey to watch. You know, one of the things that you have to give her credit for is that she is a smart person, you know. And I think that that's one of the things when you come to those decisions also – you know, not only is it getting those bookings, but it's also taking the right bookings too, and you know, knowing what's good and knowing what's good for developing that character. So, you know, and let's face it too, showing yourself for the other opportunities that might be down the line for a contract with another company or getting re-signed by the WWE at some point. So, you know, the future is huge. Speaking of, you know, futures with High Octane, how did it all play out, do you think, for the qualifiers? And do you think that the Cash in the Case, you know, is going to be a good match?
Well, yeah, there was definitely a couple of upsets on the show. I thought Bodie and Nick Zander was the best match on the card.
Yeah,
well, it was the best match of the night. You know, Nick had a lot to prove, and yeah. You know, and him and Bodie killed it. You know,
yeah.
Coming out of the match with Dante King and Luke Curtis, he got a severe concussion. And they had to drive Luke home. He was fucked up. So he was throwing up and, you know,
Jesus.
So now not sure, you know, he was talking around 30 days.
Yeah.
So we're going to see if he's eligible to be even in the Nick Bockwinkel Battle Royal, because I believe he won it.
Yeah.
Last year.
Yep.
So since he didn't qualify, he would have definitely had a spot. So, you know, we're going to check on him. I talked to him on, you know, online, said he was doing much better, but yeah, he wasn't, he definitely was not doing well, day of. So, Dante King pulled off a big win. It was a DQ, a win's a win. So he advances. MK Army, they're like that NASCAR team. They're going to work together. So there's two of them out of the five. So there's a couple ideas. We were looking for six. One idea is possibly a wild card that we add to the match. Another idea is offering one of the Future Shock wrestlers an opportunity in a scramble. But I look at that and it's like, so I'm going to take somebody who lost in a Future Shock tournament and give him a bigger platform to be in the Cash Case.
Right. Yeah.
You know, if they would have won their match, you know what I'm saying? So, you know, but, you know, there's also the possibility of, hey, somebody who loses in the quarterfinals, maybe we save that match till the end of the night and we do something there. But we're figuring it out, because the idea generally always is six people for the Cash in the Case. So, you know, we got Bryce Saturn and Koa representing the MK Army. We got the young prodigy Bodie. We got, as you cycle through, we got Dante King, and we got Dave Mazzani, the Pain Train.
There we go. Yep.
So
yeah, and you know, that's great to see Dave you know, get that opportunity, because
his first one.
Yeah,
He's been a mainstay in that Nick Bockwinkel Battle Royal, earned his way in, and the MK Army did their job in eliminating their rivals, the faction, who have literally, they're not on the card for the anniversary show unless they're in the battle.
The
Battle Royal. Back with the Battle Royal.
Yeah.
0-3.
Which is crazy to think. That is. That's freaking stunning. You can see, I mean, I would assume that if they are in the Battle Royal too, that's, you know, it's a good advantage for them potentially. And, you know, any one of them could potentially win the Battle Royal. So, I mean, that is some kind of constellation, but, you know, I'm sure they're kind of frustrated that they're not in a championship match in some manner on that card. So.
Yeah,
and you'll probably hear about it.
So it's going to be interesting. Hey, you know, possible anniversary show without Lights, Camera, Faction.
Yeah.
But it's hard to believe that they won't somehow get involved somewhere.
Right. And that also leads to the question of, you know, you've got a couple matches already announced here, including the No Holds Barred match with Jay Vidal and G Sharp, and the triple threat match for the No Limits Championship with Fox and AJ and Jaden Cole. So, you know, we know that set. Do we have any idea what's going on with the Nevada State?
Yeah, we're going to announce it. I guess we can announce it now. Basically, since we don't really have a feud going, you know, San Lu, and he wants to be on the show, we adjusted because we now have the we didn't have, because Amaya is had to call off because PCW is doing a show for the Make-A-Wish Foundation.
Oh, wow. That day.
And that got added to the schedule, and obviously we're going to let her, you know, take care of that business. So instead of having, you know, no women's match, our partnership with Title Match Network, Jasmine Allure is going to take on Veronica Haven.
Yep.
So we have a women's match. So it left us. We also have the Mariachis are going to get Duke and Juicy. We set that up already with Duke and Juicy beating the Faction. So it only leaves the one match for San Lu. And right now it looks like it's going to be a San Lu open challenge. So it's going to be interesting to see who takes that opportunity. The pre-show will be the finals of the Future Shock tournament.
Right.
And right now we're still working on who the FSW heavyweight champion Bateman is going to wrestle.
Right. Yeah. Open challenge, you know, usually we see it's usually someone comes out. Any possibility that that open challenge might see maybe two people think that they're worthy of that opportunity?
Well, it's never been done before, but it's definitely a possibility. You know, I may make some calls to some past FSW superstars and see, hey, you know, there's an open challenge going on. You know, maybe one of the first people who hear about it, take advantage of it.
Yeah.
You know, so we're going to see. We're definitely pounding the pavement, trying to get, you know, as many great matches out of this show. It's the anniversary, man. It's like we like surprises. You know, hey, it could be somebody who, because again, maybe that person shows up as part of the battle royal because that's the spot.
Right.
And then maybe they answer the challenge. You know, maybe there's six guys in the back fighting to get their music played to walk out. No idea.
Hey, any possibility? I mean, there's a match that I think, you know, could be a marquee matchup. Former FSW champion, and he lives in town. And I think it would be phenomenal. I don't think I've ever seen Bateman go against Brian Cage.
No, I'm pretty sure they might. They're both from SoCal.
Yeah, you know, they might have early on.
Maybe many years ago. I can't believe that those guys would have not touched gloves, as they like to say.
Yeah, but that made a little interesting matchup to see. But
Brian is in, you know, Brian was always in obviously fantastic shape, but now he's it's just amazing. It's like jacked with, but he's also like physically fit. Like he was just really big. Like Hammerstone has gotten bigger than Brian Cage, I think.
Yes. Yeah. But
And Cage, again, you know,
man.
You know, we're one phone call away from a Hammerstone, from a Graves, from a Tito, you know, from a Brian, you know, from a Royce Isaacs. Rice answered the call to wrestle Bateman and Natural Born Killers on like 2 days' notice. So,
yeah, and that was a phenomenal matchup. You know,
until the matchup is set and you hear me say it, that means I'm kind of working on hopefully, making something special happen.
Right. Which is great too, because, you know, I think Bateman deserves something special too, because of the fact that you look at one of the more underappreciated guys over the years. I think Bateman's got a lot of overlooking throughout the years. He's always that constant that when you see him on a show, it delivers. But yet it's like, man, you just kind of forget how valuable he is everywhere he's been.
Yeah, tremendous on the microphone. His character work is fantastic, you know. Even with his smugness, like there's times I'm listening to him talk with Jay Vidal and I have to laugh. It's like it's unintentionally funny, but it's still funny.
Yes, absolutely. And you talk about a guy who, man, commands respect. Like, you know, everyone in the locker room, you can't have a better presence than a guy who's been around for, you know, as long as Bateman has been, and who you can learn so much from, especially if you're in a class and Bateman's teaching that class. I mean, it's phenomenal that he's been able to, you know, get worked in the way he has over the past 2 years. It's again, you can't say enough about having guys like that around. It's amazing.
Yeah, and it's amazing that you could walk in and you could see Bateman, you could see Chris Bay, you could see Sin Bodhi, you see Rip Rogers, you see, TJP, you saw Kenny King, you saw D'Lo go through the doors, there's so many people. Like RVD would show up sometimes, and it's like, there's so many people. Jeff Cobb just walks in, you know what I mean? And it's like, it's a who's who of professional wrestling, of guys that you see on TV or guys that have been there, done that, it's amazing. And it's also amazing how many students you don't see. Well, hey, I like Cody's class. I like Remy's class. Oh, I like Chris Bay's class. And it's like, man, you know, you're missing out, not taking advantage, because, you know, this one might work you too hard in a way that you don't want to do it. And it's like, you should be engaged in everything that's being done, because everybody can teach you a little bit, something a little bit different. Yep. And, it's going to lead you to the same way, but getting as much knowledge. It's the same thing with the seminar. You money grab. It's like, okay, we're not that company who charges a $200 seminar. That seminar, there's seminars I've seen for $150 elsewhere, which we did for like $40 or $50.
Right.
And it's like, so, $40, $50, $40, that's a money grab. You know what I mean? It's like somebody's giving you their knowledge and their time. So, when Matt Hardy charged $40, probably maybe 50, and the seminar was 4 hours in, and Rebbe is like, when is this thing over? It's like, whenever he wants to. Oh, can you tell him to wrap it up? No, I can't tell him. He's engaged, and that's what he wants to do. So you're basically, for $50, you're getting Matt Hardy for $10 an hour to hear what he has to say or critique what you're doing. like, wow, I didn't realize that's a money grab. I've seen guys I've never heard of charging $40, $50.
Right. Absolutely.
Or all they're doing is going from their indie to another indie. They're indie wrestlers.
Yeah.
That are trying to charge you $50 that have never done anything.
Yeah.
Or I remember one time, I don't know, it was 10, 20 bucks or something. And it was basically a character development and stuff seminar where Danny Limelight did it. And I think probably 4 or 5 people took advantage of it. It's like, man, if you can find a better talker and man, you know, that's hard to find. A guy that, you know, legit wants somebody to come in and beat the fuck out of him.
Yep. And a professional.
It wasn't 20. I'm telling you, it was probably like 10 bucks. And it was like, wow, like 3-4 people took advantage. It's like, okay. You know, how many people say they want to be managers? You know, we're talking. You know, you got guys that are managers that don't even know how to talk.
Yeah, absolutely.
All they want to do is, like, cost somebody the match. Like,
right.
You know, find a manager as kooky as MK is. You know, MK will go through a door, but he talks and he gets heat.
Yeah.
And he can rely on the heat.
Yeah.
You know, it's like he always wants to get involved. And it's like, relax, bro. You know, it's a long show. You know, we don't need to put you through a door every single match. Let's save it.
Well, and to his credit too, you know, MK's been around for a while, and you know, firsthand knowledge of the fact that MK seeks out those opportunities to talk to Bubba Ray and to talk to Paul Heyman and to, you know, to better himself as a manager. So it's, you know, even when you've been around and you've absorbed so much knowledge, you're always trying to get more knowledge, to better yourself, to learn more, to understand why, you know, this person worked, why that person worked, why this concept works, or this, you know, this can feed into my character. You know, MK is great. He's got a character here, but he's also got a different type of character over there and a different type of character over there. It's, you know, so it's fascinating. Even as a manager, if you can talk, you can, you know, essentially go to different places and tweak your character a little bit and be a different type of manager for different types of wrestlers all across this country. It's a very easy thing to do, but you got to want to do it.
Yeah, no doubt about it. And, you know, take pride in what you're doing. You know, if you're going to do it and you're going to be a manager, don't you want to be the best manager on the show?
Yeah.
Don't you want to be the best talker on the show? You do know it's equally as important as wrestling. You know, everybody, you know, you look at on the card, hopefully adds a different variety of something to the show. You know, wrestling is like that circus where, you know, you can have that 350-pound wrestler be a champion as well as the, or that 150-pound wrestler be the champion.
Right.
And right. It's like you have to get over with the crowd. And there's a lot of ways to get over with the crowd. Some get over just because of the way they talk. Some get over just because of the way they wrestle. Some get over because their personality, their charisma. You know, everybody's got to have a little bit of something. You know, when you talk about baseball and the 5-tool player, they can do it all. Right. In wrestling, you didn't have to do it all. You know, if there's 5 things and you're great at 3 of them, man, there's a champ. There's a chance you could be a legacy wrestler. You know, right. when The Rock fully developed, he still was never been like, oh, he's the best wrestler on the roster. We all knew that was Kurt Angle. You know what I mean? And it was like, but Kurt Angle, now that's as close to the 5-tool player you're going to get, because as great as a wrestler was, man, that guy developed like the personality, the character. He could do comedy. He could be serious, but he's a legit bad motherfucker that would fuck you up.
Right.
But he can also take a step back and be the funniest motherfucker in the room.
Right. Yep.
So you can play to different things, you know, and it's like watching our wrestlers develop and seeing where they are. And man, if you're a connoisseur of wrestling and you see, sometimes you see it on Twitter about how they watched like early stuff of Cross and right. saw how he developed. And he developed everything. And basically he was one of the first with character and right. getting a tryout, because this guy put shit out on social media all the time before yeah. anybody else did. He sold everything right. on Facebook and Twitter back in the day.
Right.
Yeah. To where everybody else followed suit. You know, right. yeah, there was promos here and promos there. But Kevin, like, made you a believer. People who right. had no idea who he was, it wasn't anybody who ever saw him. Like, who's this guy? Like, who's this right. dude? You know, he did a thing where he called up fucking on Taz's thing. And it was supposed to be for fans to cut a wrestling promo. And Taz was like, holy fuck, you're actually a wrestler and blah, 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 blah. And Kevin was the winner, you yeah. know. And it was yeah. like he took every opportunity available to him.
Yeah.
Because as Chris Bay said, I'm going to be a wrestler. I don't need that fucking job. Fuck that job. They won't let me wrestle. They want to right. let me wrestle. I'll keep the job. But you're telling me I can't go to my show on Friday because you won't give it to me off for a menial fucking payday?
Right.
Fuck yeah. it. If I got to go without power for a week, so be it. I'm going to be arrested. And again, I always say never, you know, I never say go to those extremes.
Right.
But, man, you got to, you know, with people, hey, I have to work. Yeah, everybody has to make a living. Everybody right. has to do their job. But if you can't make any time that help is needed, and you can't be around other than for your match as you're trying to grow, you're going to lose out on a lot of opportunities only yep. because there's X amount of spots and you're going to give them to the person who puts in the most work.
Right. Yep.
And helps you the most. Why would somebody help me if I give the opportunity to the guy who never makes setup, never makes breakdown, but he's there for the show that he's on. He's on right. that show at the Silverton. But somehow, every single time we had setup, he couldn't make it. Like, I get it. Every once in a while, you're not going to be there. Okay, I get it. You have to work. Okay, so now you're on the show. But now the show's over. You got to work again? No. We aren't that fucking dumb. One or the other. You know what I'm saying? It's like you make one, but hey, I can't make setup. Okay, I got it. I understand that. But now it's different. Now you're the HyperX. Now it's every single month. You're telling me you couldn't work around your schedule one time? 6 shows in a row, you couldn't make setup, and you had to leave before the show was over to help break down because that 30 minutes was going to change your life?
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, and so it goes back to the same thing. It's desire. As I said, I've seen the biggest athletic people come into the business thinking, man, what a superstar we're going to have here, washes out in 2 weeks.
Yeah.
Because they don't want to, and they don't want to put in the work. And that's only the work of going to training and putting in that work. And right. they wash out. And then right. you have somebody who has more heart than anybody else. And all of a sudden, it's like, wow. You know, throw the Jester out there, for example.
Yeah.
Nobody works harder than him about being around and helping and kids class and setting up for another thing. And you look at him and it's like, okay, yeah, I could see him as a referee. That was kind of my first thought, because everybody has, you always say you can't make a, a second first impression. Like,
right.
It's hard. You look at him and you think, we'll see. Because, in all honesty, it wasn't a great first impression, because he left for months, had to deal with life, doing all the other stuff. And then he came back, but then he put, all the eggs in the basket. And then you have your trainers like, I think he's ready. And it's like, ready for what? Like, reffing him at? Because we did have him ref, and he did a good job reffing. And people were like, no. Multiple trainers, and he, doesn't look like Shogun, 6'5", a monster.
Yeah.
But he found himself an opportunity, took advantage of it, and now is a cog in the wheel.
Yeah.
And you can't have 14 guys that are 6'5", 260 pounds and jacked. You right. need a variety. It's a variety show. Right. Hey, there's comic relief, but he can wrestle. And the Asylum have become a very popular team, especially amongst the boys and the girls. Sure. They're entertaining. Yeah. Marcus has got himself in great shape. Phil's always there to be around. You want to make sure you reward these guys. Because they're always there. Phil has, bounced around SoCal for a long time. And, he's a guy who can get away, How much more is he going to be if he's there 5 days a week instead of 2 days a week? But he's there 3, 4, 5 days a week, whatever his work schedule, I assume he works. But I wouldn't know, because he's always at the school when we have stuff going on.
Right.
So he maneuvered a schedule to make sure he's there, because this is what he loves to do.
Yeah.
So if I love to do something, why don't I not show up Tuesdays and Wednesdays? Why do I only show up Monday, Thursday, and Friday? I love to do it. If you're going to go to the gym every day for an hour or two, why wouldn't you just come and train for an hour or two? You're amongst people you supposedly like. You have fun. It's the camaraderie. That's why you find a lot of people who come there not always getting opportunities, maybe because they haven't gotten to the point where they should, or you think, but they just love being around. And then that's why you see a guy like Corbin who transitions into being a camera guy. And there's people who want to be a part of the business. Like, I love the business, but I wasn't wanting to wrestle. My skill set was announcing commentary, but then I saw what was going on and thought I could, put together shows.
Yeah.
But a lot of these guys have transitioned. Mikey obviously loves wrestling, but Mikey doesn't, on his off time, hey, I caught Mikey rolling around taking bumps. No, he does what he's good at, and he feels he can help the business in that way. And Romo and Cody is great refs. We've always had issues with refs, because nobody wants to be a really good ref, because they feel I came here to be a wrestler. If I'm a really good ref, AJ was like that. A lot of people were like that they didn't want to get pigeonholed as a referee because they want to wrestle.
Right.
So they kind of goof off a little. They do the basics. But when we had Austin, who was one of the best refs around, and then now Cody and Romo, they are two of the best referees, period. Not two of the best referees in Vegas. They're the two of the best referees on the West Coast, any coast.
Yeah.
How Cody didn't, I know he's had some trials. How Cody hadn't gotten a gig with somebody like TNA or AEW or WWE is beyond me.
Yep.
Obviously Romo, I guess he got promoted. He's kind of a full-time ref for TNA.
Yep.
And he's tremendous. It's, it's one in 1A. How many years we would go by, hoping that we had one mediocre ref?
Yeah.
And then Austin came along and it was like, whoosh. And you know how many shows Austin probably did every single match?
Right.
Because we weren't comfortable and the student didn't really want a ref.
Yeah. Yeah. It's fascinating. And you know, speaking of the younger guys, and again, Future Shock is going to be Saturday, the 6th here at 5 p.m. at the FSW Arena.
Yeah, actually, say 4:45, get there early because we weren't able to do the first round match between Davion and Ricky Tenacious due to their schedules. So that's going to be on the pre-show.
Nice. There we go.
So the winner of this might have to wrestle 3 times.
Oh, man.
So the winner of that match will wrestle Jeffrey Excellence in the second round.
In the second round. Nice. And then you'll see Gay Broca and Mondo go at it. You're going to see, of course, C4 and Brandon G and Oliver Kennedy and Adrian Rain.
Good matchups, you know, strong, you know, a strong core of guys who've been a major part of the success that we've had a Future Shock over the last couple of years. And it was like, again, you know what? What can we do to reward? Because, you know, we're trying to make Future Shock as important instead of being that's for the kids to be what WWE tries to do with NXT. It's like, yeah, for a while, you know, there was a lot of great talent in NXT. And then they made it more of a developmental thing. But because we have so many guys, it's hard for the Olivers and the Adrian Reigns. And they get their little slim pickings on High Octanes and Gabe Broca because he's with Bret the Threat. But Bret the Threat usually gets the matches. You know, they got a tag match. So Gabe Broca goes from being on High Octane in a competitive tag team championship match. You know, we're big fans of his. You know, he's a tremendous talent at Arizona. So it's like anybody can win that tournament. You know what I mean? You know, maybe a year ago you would have been like, oh, Brandon G, he's got no shot. But Brandon G has been killing it.
Yes. Absolutely. Absolutely. And if the gods make it fall in place, we could see Greatness versus Tenacious.
Yeah, that would be an interesting match right there.
Yeah, you know, and it's, you know, that's one of the nice things. Again, you know, if you look at, I mean, all these guys. I mean, Kennedy's in one of the best physical shapes I think you can get your body into. You know, Adrian keeps learning and keeps getting better every time he goes out. Mondo, you couldn't ask for, you know, someone who has come so long in the last 5-6 years, such a long way. Like you said, Gabe is a phenomenal up and comer. Davion, I mean, again, you talk about a guy who, when things click, Davion's one of the best. Ricky's one of the best workers that you could ask for. Brandon's hitting it all four, you know, all cylinders. And C4, man. You talk about a guy who's just kind of risen.
And he works hard. He works hard. You know, he helps, you know, when we need something, you know, his truck's available, you know, he's now helping out Marquise guy with the Air Force stuff. Yeah. So he's going to have a major role. He's the Air Force guy on that base. Do you think he's not going to be at least in like the semi-main event?
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely.
You know, the only question is it the first responders or is it, you know, I'm still debating, you know, or is it Bret the Threat, the Army guy going onto the Air Force base, wanting to kick the ass of the Air Force guy on his own base?
Right. I mean,
you can't tell a better story.
Yes. Especially with Bret, too. Because you talk about a heat magnet, man.
I don't know if we might have to turn off all the mics around the ring if he walks in that ring. He might say some things that could cause a riot.
Yeah, he might not get out of the base.
Yeah.
That's I mean, that's brilliant. That's oh man. So yeah, and again, the belt, boy, look at that. The strap is just coming along again. The design is just spectacular. So you know, and the cool thing is that any one of the guys who win it, they get to say they're the first. And I think that is, you know, that's something that you don't get the opportunity to do that, you know, all the time in wrestling. And that's one of the coolest things about this. So,
yeah. And the thing is, we had to do a 16 person tournament because we had that many people capable of, we could have probably did 24.
Yeah.
Marcus wasn't in it.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's like the NCAA tournament. You just could have kept growing that bracket, you know, because.
Not really, because, you know, no 16 seed was going to ever win. They're lucky to win a game in 100 years. But here, you know, a guy like Exility Josh could have pulled off an upset. You know, sure. Jackpot J-Rock, you know, he's new to everybody, but he's got skills and he's been around a little bit. Winning a match, not a big deal. Brandon G, a Ricky Tenacious. But there's guys, like I said, that, you know, may not have been in the tournament, Marcus and Phil and Khan and, you know, scheduling-wise. Shit, I guarantee you SOS would have wanted to be in that tournament, you know.
Yeah.
I'm pretty sure there's a bunch of guys on that Future Shock roster she could beat up. There were some Future Shock mainstays that, you know, we did not see. So, plus guys that we had brought in, we wanted to have in the tournament that he got injured. Jacob East from PCW, Matthias from San Diego. You know, there's some of those guys that are above the level of Future Shock guys, but that's the spot that when we do have one, it's generally on that show. The Chingon Cartel, they're tremendous singles guys that they're just together in a team, so we just didn't have spots. Like I said, it would have been easy to put eight more guys, especially if we looked outside, you know, the homegrown market.
Yeah, and as far as once you have the Future Shock champion, will the belt be exclusive to Future Shock, or will there?
It won't be exclusive, but you know we have enough championships. But there's times it's gonna happen, you know, in those situations where maybe three of our champions can't make a certain show, and then we defend the Future Shock title. Maybe there's a storyline going that we feel the Future Shock title is worthy to be defended. Or maybe it's a pre-show match at one of the HyperX shows. That's a possibility to do it. Basically, we have the Future Shock champion on the 20th. We have July 2nd. The Air Force Base show. If C4 wins the Future Shock Championship, you know he's going to defend it at that show. And there's also no saying that if anybody else wins it, we're not going to defend it. Like shows like that, you know, an off-base show. If we do something with the Silver Knights or if we do an event. So the Future Shock Championship will come into the mix. And maybe not be defended as much as the FSW Heavyweight Championship, but the plan is to defend it for sure.
Yeah.
And that's going to happen this Saturday. So a couple days away, 5 p.m. All tickets, $20. It's you know, you could sit in the front row for $20.
Yeah. Yeah. All right. Final thoughts as we're starting to wrap up here. You know, going into anniversary season, essentially, you know, again, it's June 20th. So realistically, we're 2 weeks away, essentially. It's crazy.
Yeah, yeah. No, we have to push forward. You know, the summer is always a big time for us because we know the kids are out. So, you know, June alone, we got a couple shows. July, we'll have to, at least three because we got the Air Force Base show, as well as July 25th at the HyperX. There'll be a, you know, most likely a Future Shock event. August 22nd, we have Luck of the Draw. So it's going to be a big summer. You know, and we're also offering, if you want to buy all the tickets, you know, hit me up. We're offering all the events at a huge discount where you're basically going to pay for the HyperX shows till the end of the year, and you're going to get all your Future Shocks and High Octanes for pretty much free.
Yeah. Yeah, and you threw this out there. A real cool lucha show, maybe September 12th.
Well, I got hit up by Kyle the other day because he let me know about it, and I'm like, "Where the fuck are they running that?" And he said at the AGT Theater, and which is weird because there's the stage, and it only seats 1,200. Being Triple Mania, you know, they'll draw 20,000 in Mexico, and right. They drew more than 1,200 when they were at the Cox Pavilion, so.
Right.
It's kind of mind-boggling to me why they would do night one of their biggest event and in a venue that only holds 1,200 people. But being that night two isn't going to be the next night on the 12th, it's going to be at the 13th. So I talked with TJP yesterday because TJP is an agent for the AAA shows and works the shows. And not that we can use WWE talent, but... we could bring in some great talent. It's also Mexican Independence weekend.
Good. Yep.
On the Saturday. So if people are going to be in town for that event, maybe we get a Psycho Clown. Well, he might be signed. We might be able to do that. But there's right. definitely going to be some great talent that becomes available. And, yep. you know, hey, maybe we have it as a tribute to Lucha Underground and Brian Cage is on it. And Sam Adonis hits me up all the time. So... you know, and having Sam on the show, and then you know,
there was a guy named Cross on that show too, right?
He was. So, well, you know, it's crazy, but it that's only 3 months away. So yeah. That's definitely we're going to be discussing that frequently over the next couple of weeks to see if we could put something together for that.
Yeah, maybe talk to Kleinrock and the boys over there at.
I talked to Ruben. Unfortunately, yeah. It's Mexican Independence Day weekend, so he's going to be in St. Louis doing an event already.
Right. Yeah,
but yeah. He might have some talent locally, like in the Cali area, that he might be able to send our way.
Yeah.
That are like, you know, traditional luchadors. Because when we did the stuff in Prim, Ruben was the guy I went to who got us some good talent. So,
yeah, I mean those guys are great guys over there.
The guy Richard who runs East Los Lucha, we used his champion. It's like Doble Caras or something like that. He is like Two-Face, very good out of California. So there's definitely some really good talent. Plus. You know, hey, who's to say we can't get, you know, a Psychosis or a Hoobie or whatever. You know, on a thing like that, you're going to need somebody that's really got that name recognition. And we have a good relationship with Hoobie, as crazy as he is. But, you know, Gringo Loco, if he ain't booked, he's got his crew. So, you know, who knows?
Yeah.
Sky's the limit, you know. Hey, GCW, what are you doing? Hey, when's your show? You know, I know they're going to be running that weekend somewhere.
Right. Yeah. Well, there's a lot of opportunities. So, you know, and that, you know, could be a very fun thing.
We could have Lucha Joey Janela under a mask. Who knows?
Hey, maybe we can see Spider.
Maybe
get him out of retirement. Yeah, get him out of retirement. Oh man! All right. Well, final words as we say goodbye.
Yeah, hope everybody comes down. Check out the young talent. Now they got to battle for the Future Shock Championship. You're going to see the quarterfinals and the semifinals. So we're going to know who is going to be wrestling for the Future Shock Championship at the anniversary show June 20th this Saturday. So come check it out. Like I said, all tickets is $20. Start time 5 p.m.
Yep. That's going to be awesome to see. And, man, good stuff coming up. So, again, check it out this Saturday. And, of course, Title Match Network. If you're not in town, you can't make it out. Until next time, everybody. Thank you for tuning in. And see you the rest of the time, everybody.